Chapter 78. Ferrin. Ferrin twisted the makeshift key he had created inside the compact lock of the heavy iron door. The mechanism snapped into place, and the door swung open. He glanced around before stepping into the torch-lit stairwell that led to the Hall of Inquisition below. A twinge of both fear and excitement washed over him. To think, this could be the last time he would ever have to set foot through this door again, the last time to ever descend these stairs, the last time to ever set eyes on the torture chambers below. The feeling was invigorating. He put his weight behind the large iron door to force it the rest of the way open. Once on the other side, he strained to push it closed. He didn't bother locking it. He wasn't planning on staying long anyway, and he wanted the door to be easily accessible in case he was in need of a rapid withdrawal. The stairwell ended in a small corridor. He could see the Chamber of Inquisition ahead. Stopping just inside the mouth of the passageway, Ferrin took a moment to look around. The chamber was empty. The three desks in the center, where the legate performed their menial tasks, were neatly aligned, papers stacked on all corners, and chairs carefully tucked underneath. Assuming everyone had turned in for the night, and the Inquisitors were not holding any last-minute sessions, Ferrin proceeded around the outer edge. He worked his way toward the far wall, which held a passage leading back toward the Inquisitor's personal sleeping quarters, and, hopefully, Rhea. Halfway around the circular chamber, an unexpected scream brought him to an immediate halt. The agonized echoes from the lingering cry reverberated off the vaulted walls. His eyes darted about, settling on a single door on the right side of the room. He hadn't noticed it until now, but it was the only room whose door was completely shut. From where he was standing, he could just make out a faint trace of light seeping from underneath the bottom. He heard another scream. He felt a roiling maelstrom inside his chest at the recognition of the voice. Not worrying too much about making noise himself, considering the amount being generated already, he raced across the atrium and tried his best to peer through the keyhole. The light was too dim to see properly. He had two options. He could walk away now, leaving Rhea and her daughter to their own fate and make his escape. Or he could open the door. He wasn't even sure if it was really her in there. It could just be some other poor soul one of the Inquisitors was taking a fancy to. Ferrin knew deep down he would never be able to just walk away. He would never be able to live with himself if he did. So that left only one option. His hands were already sweating as he hefted back on the latch and slid open the door. For the first time, and with just a little magical help, it didn't squeal. Not hearing the door open over the din of his beloved torturing, the large Inquisitor walked over to his table of tools, giving Ferrin a clear view of the rack. Rhea was fastened, spread-eagle, across the thin metal bars. It had been raised into an upright position. The front of her shirt had been ripped open, and blood was pouring from the deep gashes running down her chest and stomach. Tears rolled down both cheeks as she cried in pain. Ferrin's eyes burned at the sight of her. His breath caught in his throat. He could feel the fire of his magic rising within him, his rage pulling it forth. From the corner of his eye, he caught some movement. There was a little girl curled into a ball off to the side, whimpering in fear as she rocked back and forth against the stone wall. She must be Rhea's daughter. Turning around, the little healer's eyes locked on his. They screamed his name. It wasn't repulsion that he saw reflected there. It was desperation.
You were supposed to get close to him, so you could find a way to persuade him to join us,
Cheeks said, walking back over to the front of the rack.
Not so you could join him.
The Inquisitor slapped her face with an open palm.
Did you give yourself to him? Is that how he got into your little head, huh? Did you enjoy it?
She merely closed her eyes as he slapped her again.
Where is that transferal rare?
The Inquisitor's tone rested somewhere between rage and fear. It was a side of Cheeks that Ferron had not seen before. The pale-faced sadist brandished a large knife and wiped the side of it threateningly across the soft skin of her neck. Ferron took a few quiet steps further in and to the right to get a better view of what was happening. Seeing her in this condition took every ounce of strength Ferron had to force himself to wait just a little longer before acting, in case the Inquisitor let slip something important about why they truly wanted him.
And don't tell me you lost it,
Cheek said, as he slid the flat end of the blade down her chest and across her stomach.
We both know you did no such thing. Don't make me cut you again.
He rubbed his finger across her abdomen, wiping some of the blood that had collected at her navel, before placing it to his outstretched tongue.
I would hate to see something so beautiful ruined for life. But if you aren't going to answer me, I'm going to be forced to do something I don't want to do. I'm going to have to use Suri.
No!
She screamed, her body straining under her shackles.
Did you give it to the smith? I just sent a contingent of guards to check on him.
Ferron almost coughed. He must have just missed them on his way down. Talk about a lucky coincidence. An image of Azrael popped into mind, and then he wondered if luck had anything to do with it or not. Unfortunately, that also meant his escape was about to be discovered.
If I find you did give it to him, I'm going to toss you and Suri to the men outside and let them enjoy your company tonight.
No, please.
Then tell me, who has the transferal?
Ferron couldn't take it any longer.
I do.
Cheeks nearly fell off the back of the rack's platform at the sound of Ferron's voice behind him. He reached out and grabbed hold of the hoist wheel to keep from tipping over completely. Ferron turned and lifted his hand toward the door. He used his magic to extend the door's latch, locking it into place. Cheeks twisted his head around at the sound of Rhea's cuffs splitting apart. The amount of metal within the room fueled Ferron's magic. He could feel it all, from the hammer and tongs in the Inquisitor's pouch, to the locks in the doors, to the heavy-laden rack itself. It was all-consuming. Ferron was now the one in control. Cheeks, with a sudden look of panic, charged the rack and pressed his knife against Rhea's neck.
Don't come any closer or I'll slit her throat. You know I will.
That was your second mistake, Ferron said from across the room.
Cheeks swallowed, trying to regain his composure.
And what, pray tell, was the first?
You should have used a stone blade.
Cheeks's smile dropped when the blade in his hand moved. It curled around itself and impaled the Inquisitor through the back of his hand. Cheeks shrieked, tipping backwards off the rack and landing on the hard stone beneath. He lay there, writhing,
roiling like a summer sausage on a butcher's floor as he struggled to pull the curved blade from his hand. Giving up on removing the piece of steel, Cheeks dragged himself over to his table of tools and grabbed the first handle his fingers touched. However, seeing the metal end of the hammer, he tossed it back and grabbed the next. He worked his way down his entire arsenal, realizing the only things not made of metal were the small wooden wedges and his stone blade. He turned back around and held the knife out in front of him. But it seemed to Farron to be more for protection than attack. Apparently, the Inquisitor's bravado was in short supply when his victims were no longer securely bound to the rack. For all of the flair the man brought to his torturing, to see him there cowering behind his table was truly pathetic. Keeping an eye on Cheeks, Farron made his way over to the rack after placing one arm under Rhea's legs and the other around her back. He gently lifted her off the metal bars and placed her on the far wall beside her little girl. Retrieving a clean blanket from his sack, he cut it into strips and used them to wrap her bleeding chest. Farron glanced over his shoulder at Cheeks. He was still standing on the far side of the room, behind his table. The blood from his hand was filling the crevices of the table he rested against. Farron knew they needed to get out of there. Time was running out, but thoughts of vindication began to swim in the back of his mind. He stood and took a step forward. The Inquisitor trembled. Farron smiled as he watched the stone blade shake under Cheeks' nervous grip. Farron had faced bullies before. As long as there was no fear of retaliation, as long as they were surrounded by their peers, as long as their prey was somehow incapacitated, bullies had no problem brutalizing those they deemed inferior. But you take away the bully's protective shield and allow the victim the opportunity to face their tormentor on even ground, then their true self will immediately shine through. Farron knew that behind every bully was a coward. Farron rushed him. Cheeks' eyes bulged, and he swung wide, trying to force Farron back. Farron dodged the first swing and waited for the next. Cheeks took a lunging thrust, but Farron, being more than just a weaponsmith, but a practitioner of those weapons, easily struck the man's hand away. Latching onto the Inquisitor's wrist, Farron spun it around and locked the elbow. With the Inquisitor's arm pinned, he brought his other hand down and snapped the bone in two. The stone blade clattered on the floor. One, two, Farron counted.
Ah!
Cheeks screamed in pain. His body went stiff, and his head reeled backwards. His arm hung at an unnatural angle at his side. "You're right," Farron whispered as he put his mouth to the Inquisitor's ear. "There is a time delay to the pain." Stepping behind the man, Farron angled him toward the metal bed.
"What are you going to do?"
Cheeks' voice was no longer filled with giddy excitement, but broken under the weight of his own helplessness and the dread of what he perceived to be coming. Farron walked him over to the rack. "I've heard it said that the only way to become a master interrogator is to actually have the techniques performed on oneself. That way, you will fully know and appreciate the limits of what can be achieved."
"Please. No, I beg you."
"Beg me?" Farron laughed. "You beg me? How many times did I beg and plead for you to end my cuttings? And my only reply was more of the same. You beg me? Ha!" Farron forced Cheeks back onto the bars. "I guess it's time for you to understand your craft." A look of disgust crossed Farron's face at the sight of the brown stain forming on the front of the Inquisitor's white robes, running down the length of his legs and filling the cracks of the stone below. Suddenly he realized he was enjoying this a little too much. He wondered for a brief moment if this was what it felt like for Cheeks.
The very thought of comparing himself to the sadist turned his stomach. As much as Farron wanted to test out each and every one of the Inquisitor's tools on him, he couldn't bring himself to do it. Seizing the iron clamps with his magic, he snapped them shut around Cheeks's wrists and ankles.
"What are you planning on doing?"
Cheeks whimpered. "What do you think?" Farron said, as he walked over to the array of tools on the table and let his hands glide over each. He was feeling rather conflicted. At this point, he didn't know if his desire for vengeance and retribution was stronger than his sense of morality. It had been well tested during his time in the White Tower.
"Wait,"
Cheeks begged.
"If you kill me, the others will know."
Farron lifted the Wiggler out of its place in the satchel and walked back to the table.
"Each member of the Inquisition has been connected with a layered spell, which immediately informs the others if one of us was to meet an untimely end."
"You're bluffing."
"What did you think these runes on my head were for?"
"Decoration."
"Look around you."
Cheeks spat, gulping for air.
"What do you think we do here? We work with the most dangerous people in Uldor. Of course we would have a system of warning."
Farron hesitated. He wasn't sure if it was because he didn't want to sell his soul for the sake of retaliation, or if it was because he actually believed the Inquisitor. Either way, he guessed it solved his problem. He lowered his arm. Farron replaced the Wiggler back in its slot and grabbed an old rag, probably used for wiping Cheeks's sweat, and stuffed it deep into the big man's mouth before making his way over to where Rhea sat, clutching her daughter. The healer struggled to her feet. Farron carried the little girl over to where he had left his travel bag at the entrance. He laid her down, and she started digging inquisitively through its contents.
"Rhea! No!"
Farron stopped his rummaging and quickly spun around. Rhea had removed Cheeks's gag.
"Think of Sori,"
the fat Inquisitor said.
"I'm her father."
"Not anymore."
Farron jumped to his feet when he saw what was in her hand, and he ran for the rack. A wet, choking sound was all he heard as she slid the stone blade through Cheeks's neck. His blue eyes flared and his body jerked to the side.
"What have you done?"
Farron watched Rhea take a step backwards and wipe the blood from her hands on the front of her dress, before walking over to where her daughter sat digging around inside his travel bag. Farron tried to stem the bleeding around the Inquisitor's wound with his own hands, but even he could see there was no hope for the man.
"Rhea, you need to save him. What if he was telling the truth?"
Looking across the room, Rhea's gaze was searing. Farron knew there was nothing he would ever be able to do or say that would bring her to save the Inquisitor's life. Somehow, he had known all along she wasn't leaving until one of them was dead. Without stopping to think about the possible ramifications of Rhea's actions, Farron pulled the stone blade from Cheeks's neck and wiped it on the front of the Inquisitor's robes, before tucking it into the back of his trousers for easy access. He grabbed the Inquisitor's tools and quickly stuffed the case inside the large travel pouch. "Here," Farron said, pulling the crystal from around his neck. "You'll need to heal your wounds before we go, but I'll need it back in order to get us out of here."
"It doesn't work like that for me."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, the crystal requires the wielder to use their own strength for the magic to work. It is very difficult for a healer to heal themselves. It's not impossible, but it would take a lot longer than what we have time for."
She handed the crystal back to Farron, and then glanced down at her bandaged wounds. She pressed her hand against the blood-stained material.
I can survive. They're not very deep. Besides, if we don't get out of here, it's not going to matter much anyway.
Farron replaced the transferrule around his neck and swung his pack over his shoulder with a grunt. He lifted Suri and headed for the door.
Time to go.
Rhea slid open the door and disappeared into the outer chamber. Farron paused a moment to take one final glimpse around the small stone room, ending on cheeks. The blood flowing from his neck produced a colourful contrast to the stark white of his robes. A pitiful sight to behold, and yet disturbingly satisfying. He was just turning to leave when he noticed the colour of the Inquisitor's tattoos begin to shift. They shifted from black to a pale chartreuse, and along with this change of colour came a sudden increase in luminosity. They were glowing.
Well, isn't this just my luck?